Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Joy Heft. This is a home where revealed truths are promoted and no scripture or human being is accepted as infallible. This is a place for searching for the truth. We believe in intellectual freedom. We believe in justice. We believe in compassion and concern for each other and the whole world. We believe in commitment to those ideals, which makes us caring and active in the struggles for human dignity. We are Unitarians and Universalists. I have one announcement, and that is that the time of our service moves from 10:15 to 10 a.m. on August 21st. So today's service is unlike our regular services. There's no sermon per se, but there will be a lot of congregational participation, with all of us singing songs that represent Unitarians and Universalist thoughts on various social reforms throughout our nation's history. As Rebecca lights our chalice, please join me in reciting these words. We light this chalice to celebrate the inherent worth and dignity of every person, to reaffirm the historic pledge of liberal religion, to seek that justice which transcends mere legality and moves toward the resolution of true equality, and to share that love which is ultimately beyond even our cherished reason, that love which unites us. So let me tell you a little bit about the program I'm doing today. It's titled Singing Our Visions of Action, Transformation, and Hope. It was written and conducted by the late Eugene Nevias, David Johnson, and Marta Valentine for a presentation during the Unitarian Universalist Association General Assembly in Boston, Massachusetts, in June of 2003. I have edited some and brought it up to date with the current reform movements. There's been some sort of social reform or social activism going on since there have been civilizations. A reform movement is a kind of social movement that aims to make gradual change or change in certain aspects of society rather than a rapid or fundamental changes. Social movements have sought to reform policies regarding such things as women's rights, slavery, civil rights, public school systems, prisons, alcohol consumption, psychiatric hospitals, homeless shelters, and voting rights.
We as Unitarians and Universalists have in every decade taken on the convictions of social reform important to our faith. They are now summed up in the principles of the UUA. We have applied these to social conditions time and time again. In each era, our pioneers, lay people, preachers, poets, and songwriters have explored some social reforms such as justice, equality, and human need. Many of them have written songs and hymns to inspire themselves and ignite others in joining them to change the world.
Just imagine 3,000 Unitarian Universalists coming together in a huge assembly hall to attend this specific program one afternoon. There were three narrators, a five-piece brass ensemble, a pianist, a choir, and as I said before, 3,000 voices joining in song. Now, we don't have all those elements here, but we do have two narrators, Rebecca and me. We have a pianist, and we have you, a congregation who is going to be given the opportunity to sing distinctly and proudly with passion as we share the songs of social action and reform through history.
There is a joke that you use don't sing too well because we're always reading ahead in the song to see if we agree with the words. However, some of the songs we'll be singing this morning will be from a different theological idea than we might have today. We're looking at the historical development of a religious movement, and hymns written in 1776 or 1861 or 1913 may use words such as God and man instead of people. For over 200 years, Unitarians, Universalists, and Unitarian Universalists have been singing out their deepest convictions on important social conditions and issues. After each song is introduced by a narrative, for the unfamiliar songs, Nicole will play through the song once. Please join us in making some joyful noise today. The words to all the songs will be shown on the wall.
275 years ago, a handful of Universalists were involved in founding this country. As early as 1741, George de Bonneville, a Universalist minister, began preaching the Universalist gospel, a theological doctrine that all human beings will eventually be saved. From 1750 to 1770, James Relly and John Murray shared the story of God's love and forgiveness and challenged the Calvinists' hellfire and damnation doctrine. In 1805, José Ballou preached the doctrine of universal salvation and openly rejected the doctrine of the Trinity. The Universalist founders pioneered the questioning mind, the loving and caring spirit, the keen sense of justice and equality, and all that we prize today.
One of our country's founding Unitarians, Abigail Adams, wife of John Adams, our second president, wrote to her husband about the troubles and concerns she had as an 18th century woman. She was an advocate of married women's property rights and more educational opportunities for women. Women, she believed, should not have to submit to laws not made in their interest, nor should they be content with the simple role of being companion to their husbands.
Abigail is known for her March 1776 letter to John in the Continental Congress, requesting that they, quote, remember the ladies and be more generous and favorable to them than your ancestors. Do not put such unlimited power in the hands of the husbands. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion and will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation. End of quote. The letters between John and Abigail are filled with intellectual discussions on government and politics. These letters serve as eyewitness accounts of the American Revolutionary War home front.
From our earliest beginnings, Unitarians and Universalists championed freedom of inquiry, mind, worship, and person. The Universalist patriot preacher, Elhanan Winchester of West Church in Boston, who is often called the father of the American Revolution, preached fierce sermons on freedom and wrote hymns too. We've chosen a fiery one today. Please listen to the hymn, Advice to American Soldiers, played through once. Then stand as you're able and sing it with passion as it suggests.
There'll be a blank slide first, so go up and stand. You can stand.
Your succor now lend and make no delay. shield us from dangers and slavery's arms.
Please be seated. According to UU historian Conrad Wright, slavery was an ultimate denial of the fundamental conviction of Unitarians and Universalists. They emphasized that a person of whatever nation, complexion, conditions, or capacity, what it may, is an image of God. Universalist Benjamin Rush, as early as 1770, called for the end to slavery and the slave trade. In 1790, the Universalist Convention meeting in Philadelphia passed resolutions opposing slavery, war, and compulsory oath-taking. James Russell Lowell was an American Romantic poet, critic, editor, diplomat, and Unitarian. In 1844, James married Martha White, a poet and abolitionist who was known for attacking social injustices. James soon became very drawn into the abolitionist movement. His use of poetry to express his anti-slavery views attained him a job in Philadelphia as the editor of the abolitionist newspaper, the Pennsylvania Freeman, and then later the National Anti-Slavery Standard. One of his slavery poems had been used as a hymn in our Singing the Living Tradition, number 150, All Whose Boast It Is. So please remain seated and sing the anti-slavery hymn, All Whose Boast It Is.
No issue has concerned us more than war. and no longing has it been so often as that for peace. Both Unitarian and Universalist women also organized peace movements. Julia Ward Howe greatly regretted that she was famous for writing what everyone took as a great war hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She meant it as a peace hymn and spent the last 50 years of her long life working for peace. Here is Julia Ward Howe's peace hymn. Please stand as your bodies are willing and able and sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Century, our forebears were concerned with improving the quality of the world. Ralph Waldo Emerson was considered the leader of the Transcendentalists, an American philosophical movement that believed all humans, like nature, were born good. If people became corrupt, it was because of some institution of society that ruined him.
This philosophy had a strong influence on American society in the 1830s and 1840s, and many adherents turned their attention to making America into a better place. Inspired by the Second Great Awakening and Transcendentalism, Americans started a number of social reform movements, including the fight against alcohol, slavery, women's rights, the fight for public schools, and humane prisons.
Suffrage, women's rights. Remember in the 1700s that Abigail Adams cautioned her husband to, quote, remember the ladies? A far more passionate plea on the equality of the sexes was offered in 1790 by that writer extraordinaire, Judith Sargent Murray, wife of the Universalist founding father, John Murray.
One of the first women's issues fought by Unitarian and Universalist women were the right to be ministers. Praises be that Universalists Maud Jenkins and Olympia Brown led American women into the ministry. Olympia found a welcoming congregation in Weymouth, Massachusetts in 1864. She was an ardent suffragist leader all her life and was the only one of the early women leaders to live long enough to vote in 1920.
There were rafts of suffrage songs in the several decades leading up to the passage of the 19th Amendment. Ada Burpee Bowles, a lifelong Universalist from Massachusetts, became a liberal evangelist for her faith in women's rights from coast to coast. She was a columnist for the San Francisco Transcripts, a member of the Women's Press Alliance, the Press Club, and an enthusiastic Universalist minister, still able to spread the liberal gospel by the age of 90.
When the Great World Congress of Representative Women gathered during the Columbian Exposition in Chicago in 1893, they decided that the hour of worship should be closed no more to women. As they led the Sunday service at what is today the Chicago Art Museum, what better choice could they have made than Ada Ball's fiery, rise up, O woman. Please rise up and sing.
Rise up, O woman. Into the 20th century, when the Unitarian prophet preacher John Haynes Holmes began his ministry at the Community Church in New York, and with it a wide range of social action. Holmes was one of the founders of the American Civil Liberties Union, the NAACP, the War Registers League, the Fellowship for Reconciliation, and the Unitarian Fellowship for Social Justice. His pacifism was not popular during World War I, but he never wavered in his convictions. Hymns flowed out of him with poetic passion. During the early days of World War I, he found the exploitation of child labor intolerable and the social conditions of the urban ghetto unconscionable. The Voice of God is Calling, written in 1913, express John's social conscience. So please stay seated as we sing The Voice of God is Calling.
Thank you.
In the mid-20th century, there began a shift in the type of music used during social reform. The pioneering hymnal, How Can We Keep From Singing, first published by the First Unitarian Church of Los Angeles in 1952, introduced many new hymns of social idealism and protest to UU congregations. Here was folk music, not from classical musicians, but people with guitars. Here's a list of names of some of the Unitarian Universalist folk singers, songwriters in the mid to late 20th century. Pete Seeger, Utah Phillips, Malvina Reynolds, Shelley Jackson Denham, Fred Small, Joyce Poley, Linda Hirshhorn, and Carolyn McDade.
Hymns and songs of peace and world harmony followed World War I, but it was, in fact, after World War II that a wave of social issues brought a flood of songs and hymns of social vision and protests. Many songs were written about peace, prejudice, inequality, labor issues, and earth and environmental issues. Pete Seeger, a longtime Unitarian Universalist, was an iconic singer-songwriter, best known for his contributions to the American folk music revival and his political activism.
Bless you. Pete Seeger wrote Where Have All the Flowers Gone as a call for peace after World War II. He was inspired by Mikhail Sholokhov's novel, And Quiet Flows the Dawn, a story about Tsarist Russia. It describes the Cossack soldiers galloping off to join the Tsar's army, and they're singing, "Where are the flowers? The girls have plucked them. Where are the girls? They've all taken husbands. Where are the men? They're all in the army. Gallop, 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 wee."
This song is definitely a powerful voice of peace, as it speaks of the formal kind of war of nations and armies, but also points to the personal warfare within us all. It demonstrates how war and suffering can be cyclical in nature. Girls pick flowers, men pick girls, men go to war and fill graves with their dead, which get covered in flowers. It makes the point that it's not just the tragedy of anger and warfare, but the frustrating endlessness of it, the same folly repeated from one generation to the next, with the singer's voice crying throughout, "When will we ever learn? When will we?" So please listen and sing along if you wish to the video of Pete Seeger singing Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Hey, I got an old song, maybe some of you might like to help me sing it. I'm going to ask my grandson, Tao Rodriguez, to come up here and help me. Where have all the flowers gone? Thank you.
Some other issues that arose after World War II were civil rights, women's equal rights, protests against nuclear testing and nuclear rain, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender rights, anti-racism, pro-diversity, and many more. Malvina Reynolds, a retired English teacher, a Unitarian, and the muse of Parker Street, as she was called. This was a woman whose second career as composer and singer zeroed in on the conscience of America. Malvina sang for us and with us, and for human dignity and human rights, for independence of thought, a sane nuclear policy, and an ecological sanity in our fragile and threatened environment. Please remain seated as we sing this reform song by Malvina Reynolds in 1962, which was written as part of a campaign to stop nuclear testing in the atmosphere, which was producing fallout in the rain.
What have we done to the rain? Civil rights captured the attention and commitment of UUs more than any other time during the 1950s and 60s. It sent us out to take action in our local communities and propelled us to journey to the marches on Washington and Selma. Martin Luther King's call to Selma brought out hundreds of Unitarian and Universalist ministers, lay people, and the president and board of trustees of the UUA. It was at Selma that UU minister James Reeb became a martyr to the cause and united national attention as well as presidential action. As Unitarians and Universalists organized, worshiped, and marched, they sang the great songs of the movement. We shall overcome, lift every voice and sing, I'm on my way to freedom's land. I'm going to sit down at the welcome table, and if you miss me, at the back of the bus. Those songs moved us, thrilled us, united us with those seeking their rights, and empowered us to act. Several of these songs found their way into our hymnal, Singing the Living Tradition. UUs didn't need to write their own civil rights songs. They gladly sang those of their brothers and sisters in the civil rights movements. So please stand as you are able and join in proudly singing the civil rights song, We Shall Overcome. We'll only sing two verses. So.
Uh-huh.
Women's rights movement, the campaign to pass the Equal Rights Amendment, and the new feminism reached into our congregations with power. The Women's Caucus was founded at Arlington Street Church in Boston, Massachusetts in 1971. Led by Carolyn McDade and the Caucus Singers, a raft of talented writers and singers, they wrote and sang songs about the equal rights of women. In their determination, they were offended how offhanded their minister was of the Mother's Day service. The caucus demanded that a Sunday service of its own be devoted to women.
The opening song for that service was, "Well, We Might Come In A-Fighting." Can you imagine 20 caucus women bursting into the sanctuary with pithy signs on their back with the word bitch written across them and then singing this song, "Well, We Might Come In A-Fighting." So if you join in singing, "We Might Come In A-Fighting," please stand and join in singing, "We Might Come In A-Fighting." Service in 1972 led to its performance at the next General Assembly and launched Carolyn McDade's career as a one-woman force for women's spirituality, growth, rights, and for a world of peace and human welfare.
It was in Seattle in 1970, the UUA General Assembly, after a hard-won battle, passed a landmark resolution affirming the right of gay, lesbian, and bisexual people Subsequently, the teenage course, About Your Sexuality, upheld those rights by providing open information on the topic of homosexuality. UU ministers at that time were encouraged to conduct gay and lesbian civil unions, despite the fact that these types of marriages were not legal. Congregations were also urged to consider calling gay and lesbian clergy. Congregations began to sing Holly Near's We Are a Gentle, Angry People, which made it into our current hymnal, number 170, in Singing the Living Tradition. Stand as you are willing and able, we are a gentle, angry people, in honor of LGBT rights in the late 20th century.
Thought of himself as a secular humanist and was inspired by Henry David Thoreau and Ralph Waldo Emerson. He was a passionate activist that played a critical role in creating the contemporary environmental movement, as he was founder of many environmental organizations, including the John Muir Institute for Environmental Studies, Friends of the Earth, the League of Conservation Voters, and the Earth Island Institute.
David's advocacy led to the establishment of 9 national parks and seashores, including Kings Canyon National Park, Redwoods National Park, and Point Reyes National Seashore, as well as spearheaded campaigns to keep giant dams out of Dinosaur National Monument and the Grand Canyon. Brower became the first executive director of the Sierra Club and on the Sierra Club board 3 times until his death in the year 2000. As CEO, David helped breathe new life into the organization after the death of the group's founder, John Muir, and growing it into the national forest and wilderness conservation it is today.
Should I make him sit and stand up? You can have him sit.
Okay, please join me in singing This Land Is Your Land, in honor of all the amazing parks and national wonders we have in our land.
This land is my land, from California to the New York Islands, from the forests to the Gulf Stream waters. Walking the Ruta Highway,
21st century, we continue to advocate for peace, religious freedom, human and civil rights, labor rights, financial equality, and environmental and ecological concerns. After the bursting of the housing market, and significant drop in the stock market in 2008, many families lost their jobs or found their income declined significantly, causing a decrease in consumer spending and an increase in poverty among the majority of the middle and lower class. This was the beginning of the Great American Recession.
No. In 2011, Occupy Wall Street was given the name of a protest movement located in New York City's Wall Street Financial District. The main issues raised in this movement were social and economic inequality, greed, corruption, the perceived undue influence of corporations on government, and also the increasing inequality in wealth between the wealthiest 1% and the rest of the population.
Utah Phillips was an American labor organizer, folk singer, storyteller, statesman, and Unitarian. One of the songs he performed was called "Which Side Are You On?", which was written in 1931 by Florence Reese, a wife of a Kentucky labor union organizer for the United Mines Worker. After having their lives threatened by thugs and hired by the mine owners to scare her husband, she wrote this song to protest the state of the labor union. Utah Phillips performed this with another civil rights singer-songwriter named Annie DeFranco. She has changed the words to this song to meet the issues of this time. As we watch and listen to the video, "Which Side Are You On?", our ushers will come around and collect the offering. I don't know where Ben is. I need to see Ben.
Oh, we need another usher. There we go, Jerry's on it.
Thank you.
The effects of climate change became real in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina brought catastrophic damage to homes and businesses, as well as the loss of lives in Louisiana and Mississippi. All levels of government were criticized for the inadequacy of response for help. Then 7 years later, Hurricane Sandy brought devastation to homes and lives in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. Many people showed their care for humanity and social justice and went to help in both these areas. There were more and more hurricanes occurring, so much property damage, and so many people struggling to put their lives back together. Some real solutions had to be found since the government wasn't there to help much.
In 2007, 2008, and 2009, groups from our congregation went on social justice missions to Iberia Parish in Abbeville, Louisiana, to help rebuild houses after Katrina. They partnered with an organization called Southern Mutual Help Association, where our groups helped rebuild several houses to make them relivable again. It was an unforgettable experience for these folks to hear the stories and to be a part of the social reform and recovery process to those in need. Climate change is real. The earth is our only home, and all the people on our earth are our family. We need to take care of it and them.
Okay. 2013 to 2015 brought civil and human rights to the table again, with racial tensions, the killing spree at a black church in Charleston, and the shooting of several black teens brought this issue very close to home in Ferguson, Missouri. And quoting the Reverend Louise Green, minister for congregational life, River Road UU Church, Bethesda, Maryland, about the hashtag Black Lives Matter, a 21st century civil rights movement, quote, "It is an act of cultural resistance, of public witness. The aim and desire is to keep the spotlight on the complex set of issues affecting black people in this country, dating from slavery through to 2015. Not since the civil rights era has there been such a sustained commitment to make broad change. Black Lives Matter is a statement about that renewed commitment, a vow to keep looking, watching, and struggling." End quote.
Through social media, hashtag Black Lives Matter was able to reach many thousands of people almost immediately, thus making events happening very real here and now. UUs have made a presence here in the St. Louis area, from their standing on the side of love, Black Lives Matter signs, participating in civil rights protests, marches, and vigils, and demonstrating that black lives do matter and that all people are important.
The rather large and important social reform that UUs have been fighting for decades is the right to marry and equality for the LGBT community, which covers the Marriage Equality Act. In 2000, the state of Vermont signed a civil union bill into law after the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex couples were entitled to the same rights as opposite-sex couples, thus making Vermont the first state in the U.S. to give full marriage rights to same-sex couples. In June 2015, same-sex marriage became legal in every state in the U.S. Love wins. This was one big step in the march toward equality.
The Reverend Jason Shelton, a composer, arranger, conductor, singer, and associate minister of music for the First Unitarian Universalist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, wrote a song in 2004 to honor the Reverend William Sinkford, former president of the UUA, for his prophetic witness in being one of the leading voices of our movement in the marriage equality issue and other civil rights movements. The song "Standing on the Side of Love" has since become something of an anthem for the right to marry and the hashtag Black Lives Matter movements, taking a central role in several congregational initiatives around the country. So please stand as you are able and proudly join in singing the anthem "Standing on the Side of Love," showing that justice is what love looks like in public, and to celebrate the love of all people, regardless of race, religion, or sexual orientation. So stand up as you are able. Claim the past with pride and gratitude, and look forward to the coming years with hope and trepidation. The hopes and prayers for peace and the fear, dread, and threat of war have threaded their way through 275 years of our American history to arise again and again, and are with us today. As we retrace our past, we say how long, how very long it has taken to achieve some of our most prized visions, and how some of them are far from coming into view.
We have sung proudly and boldly. We have made the rafters ring.
We have sounded our visions of action, transformation, and hope.
May these visions we hold and the passion that bursts forth from us empower our hearts to remain steadfast and our hands to serve.
As we close the service with a video called "Love Reaches Out," please stay as you wish, and thank you for coming.
The rain blinded, I'm don't you worry, 'cause I've been with you all along.
I ain't worried, 'cause I can feel it, 'cause I can feel it. Yeah, they said it's hard to really see it, and the reason why we living. Don't chase it with your eyes, can recognize it till it's given. The world in front of me became the molding of my vision. The pain that came to me is what I blame on my decisions. How can I find the courage when my heart is feeling missing? How do I find a time when I know that the clock is ticking? I'm a soldier for this love, it's guaranteed to be my mission. Wish I could find it easy like I see it in the children. Hey, looking back as I move forward, Sankofa. I want a love that explodes, call it a supernova. What it takes to reach the heavens, let me stand closer. Put the pieces on all together, witness Jehovah. God is patient with a sunny plant the seed and let it grow. When I love it unconditional, I learn to let it go. Open your arms, what I'm talking about. Without a doubt, I can feel the love reaching out.
Love reaches out. My love reaches out.
Love reaches out.
Love reaches out.
My love reaches out.
Love.
Can you feel it? Yeah. I'm never giving up, I'm keeping cool, I'm in control. My praise, I give it up, a higher power's in control. This light is guiding me, I'm armed with everything I know. This love is getting closer, I can feel it in my soul. Long as I am living, I still got the time to show. The patience that was given from the ones that let me grow. Forgive me for debating back and forth, to and fro. This love is reaching out, I'm giving it to you and yours. Walk with me in solidarity. My sanctuary eases my disparity. When I look into your eyes, I'm looking carefully. What do you know? There is me. No more questioning the things that I can never see. Touch, taste, smell, hear, no more mystery. Just the faith is stronger than my pain and misery. I found it in myself and it will forever be. The breath of love that gave me the breath of life. A breath of lost spirits, give it back and I energize. If I never take another, let my voice come to speak it out. And give you the feeling of love reaching out.
Love reaches out.
Yes, it does.
My love. My love gonna reach out and warm your soul.